to move around this place, touching lives. And then we go out from this place, you know, in a better place, if you like, than when we came in, having experienced the presence of Jesus. Oh, you know, where Jesus is, where his presence is, anything can happen. And so we can have an expectancy of one thing, and yet God can do something else. Holy Spirit, move in this place, we pray this morning. As hearts are open and minds attentive to your word, which we believe is relevant for us today, in Jesus' name. We were saying as we were gathering this morning before church with just a few of the team, how it's amazing how things can, how weeks can end up different to how you're expecting them to start, isn't it? What a momentous week for our nation. And if it's for our nation, I believe it's for us. And I always, you know, we must always remember that we are spiritual. Do you believe that? That we are spiritual. And that we should see things, I believe, through a spiritual perspective. And recognize that God, I believe, is moving and gives us is looking for opportunities for the body of Christ, for the church to rise up and be who we're called to be. Amen? That's three of you. Am I going to have to climb the chairs? It's difficult climbing chairs when we're on the live stream. But, you know, I believe God has a word for us today. I was just thinking about the accession to the throne that King Charles has taken on and stepped into the moment that Queen Elizabeth died, and how that he was born for that purpose. It's taken him quite a long time to get there because of such a long reign of Queen Elizabeth, but he was born, if you like, to be king. You know, his great uncle was born to be king, and but abdicated and positioned him then his mother in that position that she found herself in, and he finds himself in. So at the moment he was born to be king, and so he was born for a purpose. But it's only just this last week that he has stepped into that position. And it reminds me a little bit about how we as individuals are born for a purpose. I believe you are born for such a time as this. We are born for a purpose. We are spiritual. And the moment, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, that purpose which you were born for, you stepped into the day you said, I have decided. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, if we don't step into that, we leave this world outside of the kingdom of God, having not stepped into and lived out our purpose on this earth and stepped into eternity with Jesus. But King Charles III, as he is now, and we're having to sort of just get used to calling him king rather than prince, because he has been so long in that period, if you like, waiting until he stepped into his position as king, he takes on that totally different role, and in many ways, he's a different person. He is so different as king than he was as prince. And the moment we step in, if you have decided, if you have prayed a prayer, received Jesus, we sang about, I know that I am saved. That's pretty important, isn't it? That we know that we are saved. And so the moment he stepped into that, the moment Queen Elizabeth died, he stepped into that position, and he stepped into the position for which he was born for. Do you hear what I'm saying? The moment we get saved, the moment we get born again, we step into the position, we spiritually change into who we are created to be. And then we start living out our purpose. See, we are born for a purpose. And when we get born again, we align, or if you like, there comes that time when we align with the purpose that we were born for, and our spirit is renewed. We are spiritual. We are born again. And so, Prince Charles, who has become King Charles, has to, if you like, reset his mind. Reset the way he is thinking. I want to just talk for a moment this morning about the power of a set mind. He has had now to set his mind and to be king. He's no longer prince. And that brings with it a whole different realm of stuff in which he does and the way he does things. And I believe as Christians, we need to recognize that when we get born again, when we step into that purpose for which we were born, we become a child of God. We become a new creation. And then we have to reset our mind and the way we think, because that doesn't change. As far as I noticed, that when King Charles stood or sat and gave an address to the nation, he looked pretty much the same as he did the few days before when he was prince. Didn't he have a crown on? Just looked like he did the day before. How many of you, the day you got born again, woke up in the next morning and looked in the mirror and you look pretty much the same? But our mind, we have to change the way we think. When we're born again. So we reset our mind and live very differently. Our spirit has been changed. Our spirit has been reset, but our mind has to change. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Read it from the New King James. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things, or reset your mind on things which are above. Not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when we get born again, we recognize that our old life dies and we get reborn. A new creation, the Bible says. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so we step into that position. Our spirit is regenerated. But our mind, if you like, is still the center of your life, because that's where our thinking comes from. It's because, you see, where we set our mind will determine the outcome of your life. Before you came to church this morning, you didn't just wake up this morning and turn up here. You thought about it. You made a decision. You set your mind to thinking. You got thinking about it and thinking, yeah, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. See, the outcome of your life naturally just doesn't change the way that you got saved. We have our home in heaven, but we have to purposefully live our life on earth. Purposefully live out our life. For some, that life on earth doesn't change very much, because we don't always set our mind on things above. Some of our life on earth doesn't change very much because we don't always set our mind on things above. The Apostle says to the Colossians that if you therefore have received Christ Jesus, if you're raised with him, seek those things above. Seek those things. Don't just expect them to come into your life, come into your world. Seek them out. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Ephesians says that we have been raised with him and we are seated with him in heavenly places. We're repositioned positionally, but experientially, we have to set our mind, because if we don't, our life won't look very much different. You may know people who get born again, but their life doesn't look very much different. And that's usually because we haven't set our mind. See, we don't always set our mind on things above. And Paul is almost posing a question to him: if you were raised with Christ. That's why it's important that we know that we know that we know that we know that we're saved. There is no doubt about it. For by grace we've been saved through faith. It's a free gift. It's not of works. It's a free gift. Paul poses this question: if then you were raised with Christ, there should be some very significant changes in your life, both in the way you live your life on earth and the outcome of your life. Because the outcome of your life is determined by where you set your mind. See, before you were raised with him, before you died, before you got saved, before you got born again, your mind was already set on earthly things, on all the things around you, on all natural things. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. So therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That changed everything. You know, if what does it mean by the blood of Christ? By his death and his burial and his resurrection. By what he did on the cross for us, which we celebrate at Easter. That's brought us near. And we've come into that relationship with Christ, which we were born for, which we choose to step into the day we get saved. But before that, you see, our mind was already set. Mind was set on things, all sorts of things. And some of the, our mind, we're set by so many different things. What sort of things? What determines where your mind was set? It could be other people. Sometimes people live their life and their mind is set because of what other people say. Some people's mind is set by past experience. You have a past experience. You know, not all past experiences are good experiences. Some experiences of the past are bad, are not good for you. And how many of you know that you can have your mind set on a bad experience in life? And it can keep you, and it can contain you, and it can restrict you and cause you never to be who God has called you to be, because your mind is so set on something that took place in your life. It could have been many years ago, but it set our mind. Some people's mind is set by their culture. You know, culture is a great thing to have and to celebrate, but not all culture is godly culture. Not all culture aligns itself with the Word of God's. Now, some people's mind is set by a tradition. Well, we've always done it that way. Why do you do it that way? Well, sometimes we don't know why we do it a particular way, just because the person before us did it that way. Well, that's a tradition we have. Not every tradition is godly. There are some pretty ungodly traditions that sometimes people hold in their lives and allow them to control them, to contain them, and never become who God has called them to be. Some people's minds are set by their feelings. Now, feelings are good, but not all feelings are godly. You've probably heard people say, well, I feel this. Well, okay, we feel a lot of things. Is it a godly fear? Some people's lives are set by frustrations in their lives. Oh, I get so frustrated. That's none of you, of course. You know, we can have our minds set by our opinions. And maybe not only our opinions, but other people's opinions. Have you believed things because someone else has told you that? I mean, you never maybe even checked it out yourself. Some people's minds are set by their fears. So fearful of something or other, some situation, some experience, that has set my mind in that place. You see, we all had a lot, many, some more than others, have a lot going on before we get saved. We have a lot of life going on. We have a lot of life experience goes on in our lives before we get born again. And there are a lot of things that have been set in our minds and our thinking which have to be reset. I guess, you know, King Charles is having to today think like a king rather than thinking like a prince, for whatever that means to him. But of course, see, before we were born again, we were living outside of the things of God. But now, the Holy Spirit has entered us. Now our spirit has been regenerated. We are empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can ever think or ask, according to the power which is working within us. The Holy Spirit. And so we're positioned because our spirit has been regenerated. Isn't that powerful? And that change takes place. It's like a mystery, but it changes. It changed, totally changed. For by grace we have been saved through faith. We believed it. We had a revelation. The power of the gospel touched us, convicted us, and we changed. For by grace we have been saved through faith. It's a free gift. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. So it's not it. So no one can boast. It's totally free and acceptable, available for anyone to accept. No one is outside and beyond the reach of God to bring us into that place of relationship with him. See, we're positioned, but we're not going to live that abundant life until we set our mind on that position. For I know that I am saved. I know that I am born again. Until we set my mind on the fact that I have been raised with Christ. Old things have passed away. I'm going to set my mind that old things have passed away. Don't ever remind me of my past. When we ask God for forgiveness and we accept that, he takes it, and the Bible says he removes it as far as east is from the west and never remembers it anymore. And yet there are things in your life that you still remember, and they haunt you, and they drag on you, and they pull you, and they hold you, because there's somewhere they're so set in your mind that you haven't released them and allowed God to take them. So we have to set our minds to the fact that I have been raised with Christ. I am a new creation. All the power of heaven is available to me. That same power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead on that resurrection morning is available to me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Greater is he. I am an overcomer. Come on, we need to set our mind on some of these truths, rather than some of the lies the enemy would have us believe. And the enemy comes in all sorts of forms. He set our mind to our position that I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. Set my mind to know that I am full of the Holy Spirit. I receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I have set my mind that I have the mind of Christ. Now, I can think differently now. I don't have to think the way I used to think or the way those people that are around me expect me to think. I can think differently because I have the mind of Christ. And see, that is when things begin to change in our lives. When we start to think and we set our mind that I am a child of God, that I am a new creation. I have stepped from that place of being outside of a relationship with God to being in a relationship with God. I have stepped into my purpose for which I was born. It's that place where the impossible becomes possible. Lives of believers should look so different than the lives of those who are not in the kingdom of God. See, it reminds you of the story of David and Goliath. Why could David bring down Goliath when no one else could? Why could he do it? He was just a shepherd boy who was just feeding his father's sheep and taking care of them. He wasn't even sent to the battleground. When he had an opportunity to go to the battleground, he just took some bread and cheese. He took a picnic for them. It wasn't even Life Church Picnic Sunday. But he took something for them. It's almost like he's looking for an opportunity, for an excuse to get to the front line. See, he came to the battlefield with bread and cheese, but his mind was set somewhere else. His mind was set on things above. See, we live in a pretty crazy world with all sorts of situations and circumstances bombarding us. But our mind doesn't have to be set there. And we live in days, I believe, when we need the body of Christ to be a people whose minds are set on things above. And see things for what they really are. See things from a spiritual perspective. In the crazy world in which we live and the stuff that's going on around us, and one thing can just happen and can change everything. It's important, I believe, for the body of Christ, for believers, to Christians who are born again of the Spirit of God, to stay grounded in who they are. Not be swayed around by every wind of doctrine. Rooted in the Word of God. See, it's not difficult to be moved by the culture and events around us. To have our minds reset, our minds challenged and changed. And yet David finds himself in this situation where the armies of God were easily intimidated by one man. Isn't that amazing? This is God's people. This is like the church. Intimidated by one man. He's a big man, of course. And he has a big sword, spear or whatever. But they were being intimidated by this one man. And David said to the Philistine, he says, "You come to me," in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. He said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you. My mind is set somewhere else. My thinking, I don't see this from the perspective of what others see it. I don't see it as from a place of fear or intimidation. I don't see it from a place of anxiety. I see it from a place of where my mind is set. It says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. So you better look out." Such confidence he comes to this great ugly giant with a different confidence. The armies of Israel who were being intimidated, had no confidence at all. Maybe they'd forgotten who they were. But David hadn't. His mind was set somewhere else. "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you've defied." And we don't read anything here about David praying and fasting to see if it is God's will for him to take Goliath out. Isn't that amazing? At times when we pray about things, we don't need to, because they're already in the Word of God and they should already be in us. Of course, there's a lot of times we need to pray and fast. A lot of times you need to pray and fast. You don't do enough praying and fasting. But in this instant, we don't read that David prayed and fasted to see whether it was right for him, whether it was the Lord's will for him to go and take out these giants. Because his mind was already set. His mind was already made up. See, when he saw the armies of Israel being intimidated by a Philistine, he knew what he had to do. Sometimes, you know, we just need to jump in and do what we need to do. And we can do that because we know who we are. See, when your mind is set, you know the right thing to do. Some people don't know enough of the Word of God to know the right thing to do. Some people don't open their mind and their intellect and their heart to receive enough of the Word of God to know what to do. When your mind is set, you know the right thing to do. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, before the chapter, passage before what we just read, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" What's going to be done for him? You know, and we know there's quite a lot that's going to be done for him, but if we ask him, well, who in the world anyway is this Philistine? He's not just a Philistine, he's an uncircumcised one. He has no covenant. He has no relationship that he should defy the armies of the living God. Who is he anyway? See, it's not about the man so much as what the man stands for. Or what he doesn't stand for. And it's like he's coming to him and saying, "Do you not realize who you're coming against? Do you not realize what you're up against here? Yeah, you have no covenant with God. You have no relationship. And you're coming against the armies of Israel. Don't you realize?" It's almost like David is saying, "Why hasn't anybody taken you out already? How come you're still standing? How come we're still standing? The armies of Israel standing here intimidated. Why has nobody risen stood up and said, oh, you know, greater is he who is in me or in us than he who is in this world?" How can you just stand there and let this giant just wage war with his shouts and his yells and his intimidation? But David was able to come to him. And we know, of course, that David took him out with a stone and a sling. It's one little stone. One stone took the giant out, and David was able to go there and take his head off, and that was it. Why hadn't anybody done it already? Because the others' minds weren't set where David's mind was set. How can you just stand there? I believe the young David would never have stood by and been walked over by some of the things that we're expected to accept now today. I believe David would have come up against some of the stuff we're expected to accept and say, who do you think you are that you should come against the body of Christ? His mind was set. See, do we ever question what's thrown at us? Do we ever question the intimidation and the ungodly nature of some of the stuff we have to accept? Do we never question it? See, it's important that our mind is set, if you like, set to the Spirit, and we recognize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. It's important that we set our mind. Joshua 1 and verse 8, we see that our mind is set where we meditate. Hello? Our mind is set where we meditate. Meditate isn't just, you know, sitting with your legs crossed under a tree. Meditation can take place, you know, as we get into the Word of God. It can take place around, you know, we can be in a room of people and hear something, and in a sense we can be meditating and we can be receiving that which would, you know, we need to get people, have people around us who position us in that place where what we where we meditate on their input. It's amazing this crazy stuff we listen to. And what are the first things we go to on our phones? What are the first things that we start talking about when we get around other people? Our mind is set where we meditate. Where do you meditate? And no, I'm not talking about sitting on a tree with a couple of candles or whatever, you know, on the floor. But what are we receiving here? What do we allow access into our thinking, into our mind? What gets set in here? You know, what is getting into this place? When the children of Israel were facing the greatest challenge of their 40-year journey, God gave Joshua clear direction, didn't he? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "For the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." They meditate on the word of God, and they didn't have what we have today. Tell you, so much of what we meditate on doesn't come anywhere, doesn't come out of the Word of God. I believe, you see, when your mind is set on your position, it will change where you meditate. My position, I am raised with Him in heavenly places. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am a child of God. So when your mind is set on your position, it will change where you meditate. And when you meditate in the Word, it changes the way you think. So in turn, changes the outcome of your life. You know, once you start, it's just like a continual flow of meditation and getting the Word of God into you. And it changes the way we think. And when it changes the way we think, it changes the way we live. And it changes the outcome of our life. The outcomes of your life today are a result of where you meditated. Hello? The outcomes of your life today are a result of where you've meditated. I'm not just talking about, you see, you may be a lawyer today, and you're a lawyer today because you meditated at law school. Well, that's not very spiritual. But that's true, isn't it? Now, when you're operating and flowing in the things of the kingdom of God, you know, and you're seeing victories in your life, that's a result of you meditating in the Word of God. That's true. Hello. Yes. If you've got stuff going on in your life today and you're not happy with it, just look back in your rearview mirror where you've meditated, and maybe you need to change some of that and forget some of that. Leave it in the rearview mirror. Stop looking at it from the windscreen. And put it behind you. And start meditating on that which is in front of you. Maybe the people you spend time with don't help you meditate on things which are going to get you to where God has for you to get. You know, can you imagine? You know, King Charles now, he's going to have to meditate on things which are applicable to you of him being a king. Do you hear what I'm saying? Before, he was meditating on being a prince. Let's leave that where it is. But you hear what I'm saying? The outcomes of your life today. If you've got challenges in your life today, you know, I'm. Sometimes you need to listen to somebody who's a bit older than you. Yeah. Somebody who's done a bit of distance. Somebody who's got a bit of dust behind them. Because the outcome of your life, a result of where we've meditated. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord." Start thinking like you're a child of God. Start putting your meditation into things. If you were a lawyer today, that's because you meditated in law school. And you meditated in law school because at some point you said you wanted to be a lawyer. Hello? If you want to be a lawyer, you generally don't go to medical school. Hear what I'm saying? If you're a child of God, if you are born to be full of the Holy Spirit, born to be empowered by the things of the kingdom of God, if you're born to be a child of God, and when you step into that, you then start meditating on things which help you to get to that. Setting your mind, see, changes the way you live. When you set your mind, you put boundaries in your life to keep you in check. I'm not talking about boundaries that selfishly limit you, but boundaries that protect you, boundaries that define you. See, setting your mind makes decision-making easier because you have a standard to align with. That's why David didn't have to pray and fast about should he take out Goliath. It wasn't even a question. Didn't even have to think about it because initially, immediately his thinking steps into that place. I'm a child of God. My mind is set to see his kingdom come and his will be done. See, when your mind is set from your position in Christ, a lot of answers to your major life-changing decisions and questions are already answered. Do you hear what I'm saying? When your mind is set from your position in Christ, to your position in Christ, a lot of answers to your major life-changing questions and decisions are already answered. Because you just step into that, you do the right thing. Now, should I forgive? Should I forgive that person? Well, I need to pray about that. Now, your mind is set. Of course you need to forgive that person. Should I give? Should I tithe? Do I have to pray about it? Do I have to, pray and fast? No, even your mind is set because of who you are. The answer is already there. Should I serve? Well, I'll pray about that. The answer is already yes, because of where your mind is set. Should I pray? Yet the answer is already yes, because of where you have set your mind. See, when your mind is set from my position in Christ, it can eliminate a whole lot of counseling. Sorry, counselors, I'll make you redundant, but when your mind is set from my position in Christ, it can eliminate a whole lot of questions and discussion and counsel. Renewing and resetting our mind is a deliberate action. That will result, I believe, in a supernatural flow of what God has for you. Renewing and resetting your mind. If we don't reset our mind when we get born again, we won't live a lot differently than how we were before. Because our mind is set, it needs resetting. So renewing and resetting your mind is a deliberate action you have to take. You have to think about it. You have to actually do it. And in doing that, that will result in the supernatural flow of God through your life. How many need a supernatural flow of God? Yes. We're born again of the Spirit of God. Some of you don't always experience the supernatural in, I believe, the way that God would have us see it. Because we can do things pretty much in our own strength. You can live a pretty good life in the Western world in your own strength. But we need to see the supernatural. We need to be identifiable again from the world. Like David was identifiable. He said, "What shall be done to the one who takes away the reproach?" Who do you think you are that you defy the armies of Israel? You come against the things of the kingdom of God. Who do you think you are? And so he was able to step right into there, not have to pray about it, not have to think about it too long, but just give me a stone. Just let me at him. He says, "Your servant has taken out a lion and a bear. We'll just do the same for this uncircumcised Philistine. Treat him the same. And just one little stone." And as the song said, he came tumbling down. Church, we need to see that supernatural flow. See the power of Almighty God. See, everything of God is supernatural. Not everybody you saved experiences the supernatural. Don't look a lot different. See, that is because their mind is set on a natural level. Where's your mind set? Where do you set your mind? If you were raised with Christ, Paul asking this question, if like posing a question, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth, not on things of this earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, remember, Ephesians chapter 2, that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made with the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Been brought into that relationship, into that place that we were born into this world, I believe, for. To find our relationship and make that complete relationship with God. What does the blood mean to you? What does the blood mean to you? That blood which was shed, the blood of Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that God made by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. What does it mean to you? Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're watching, you're joining us online, and you don't even know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You haven't stepped in yet to who you were created to be, a child of God. That could change today. You could ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your past, and make you a brand new person. And then when we have received him, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things above. You could ask Jesus this morning to forgive you of your past. Allow his blood to be that blood which cleanses you and makes you a brand new person. And then be raised with him to a new life as he was through his resurrection. If then you were raised with him, that puts you now in this position. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things above. Well, start seeking those things above. Maybe you're born again. Maybe you prayed a prayer maybe a long time ago, but you stopped seeking those things which are above. God has so much more for you. He has so much more for you. You know, so much more for you. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What did your "I have decided" mean to you? When we baptize people here, we give you a t-shirt and it says, "I have decided." Very powerful thing, being baptized, recognizing and demonstrating that we have been buried with him and then we're raised with him. What did that "I have decided" mean to you? Did you reset your mind? Or maybe you only reset, sometimes we just reset part of our mind. It's like we have sections of our mind. Well, this section of my mind I'll have set as the things above, things of God. But this part is still set somewhere else. Believe there's that process we go through of resetting our mind. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may know what is the good and the perfect will of God in Christ Jesus for us. So as we go through our Christian life, you know, having made that decision, having become who we were created to be, born again of the Spirit of God, we just start resetting our mind over the process of the course of our life, and we are being renewed and transformed in the image the Bible says of Christ Jesus. We have to reset our mind as we grow in Christ. How many of you have had to reset your mind as you grow in Christ? You get a fresh revelation. You see something differently, and the Bible becomes alive to you in a fresh way. And you think, wow, I never saw it like that before. So we reset our thinking, and then in resetting our thinking, changes the way we live and our responses and our actions. We start seeing the power of God manifest in our life more. We don't just reset our mind once and say, well, that's it. Church, what is your instinct when you face Goliaths? What's your instinct when you face the Goliaths and the challenges that we face in life? David's was, who in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would take away the reproach from the armies of Israel? What should be done for him? As you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you from a place of where my mind is set. Because I know who I am and whose I am. I've set my mind in that place, and we're going to see victory today. So you better look out. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And he was able to do that because his mind was set. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And church, that's, I believe, the position we should be in, a people who, you know, we have the mind of Christ. So as we face challenges in life, and I know none of you here would have any challenges, but things get thrown at us. Goliaths get thrown at us, things that would try and intimidate us, things that would try and bring us down, things that would try and take control of our lives and keep us in a place of all continually being, having that Goliath, that giant just facing us all the time. Well, in an instant, things can change. In a moment, just one swing of a sling with a stone in it took that giant out. Never to have that intimidating spirit over God's people. And the same is true of us today. It could just, we sing just one word. Just take things out. Never did they have to live with the Goliath again. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you've forgotten who you are. Well, not in the sense of who you are, but who you are in Christ. Of what Christ did for you on the cross. Positioned you in that place where your mind is set. So you come to me with this and with that. How many of you have had situations where you've been bombarded with something? Bombarded with something which you know is not of God. And you get a word from God because you know who you are, and you speak a word and do some action, you pray and you believe, and instantly something changes. Come on, He is well able. He is well able. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. If He can do it for David and Goliath, He can do it for you. So when we're facing things and challenges in life like the Goliaths that come against us, we are able to say, because of where our mind is set, we suffer way too much. Way too much of the intimidating powers of the enemy because we forget who we are. And I am a child of God. You know, King Charles was last week was a prince, now he's a king. Before you were saved, you were outside of the things of the kingdom of God. Now you're saved, you are. So you're in a greater position. You're in a position of power. You're in a position of authority. You have been raised up, the Bible says, with Him, and you're seated with Him in heavenly places. So come on. Come on, if you're facing a challenge in your life this day, you know, you can come at it with the word of God. You come to me with a javelin, with a spear, with a sword. You come to me with all that paraphernalia. You come to me with all that armor. You know, I come to you with who I am in Christ. Of course, David wasn't who he was in Christ yet, but because Christ hadn't come, but he knew who he was. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, who you have defied. So look out. Come, we need to rise up in who we are. Men and women of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe, you know, could easily get to a place where it is just being bombarded by this and by that and all the stuff that comes at it, and the Goliath from here and a Goliath from there, when the body of Christ should be rising up and being who we're called to be. Being salt and being light and using the Word of God, using who we are. You know, I have decided, and so I have to, the way, because I've decided, this is how I'm going to live. I'm not sure I've decided, I'm not sure, too sure how I'm going to live. Well, meditate on the things of God. Meditate on the things that are going to build strength into you and build a position of and bring revelation into your life and see the power of God flow through you as children of God. You know, come on, you step into your inheritance. You're no longer who you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm not even a Christian yet at this moment, but I hear what you're saying, Pastor, and I hear what you're saying, and I really recognize today is the day I need to change my life. Or I need to step back into that position that which I was in maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Let's all stand on our feet just for a moment. If you're here this morning, you say, today I need to reset some things in my life. Just reset some things in my mind. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a few moments. If you're here this morning, you say, I don't embarrass anybody, but if you're here this morning and you say, I need this morning, I recognize right now that I need to reset some thinking that I have of who I am in Christ, of my position. Just raise your hand so I can see it. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Father, I pray for every person who has a hand raised, who's recognizing that today there needs to be a reset in their thinking, in their mind. Father, I pray for them. Holy Spirit, touch them, I pray, by your power this morning. May He who is in us be strong in us. May the power of God rest on every person. Father, I pray that greater is He who is in me than He who is in this world. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, beyond what we can ever think or ask, according to the power which is working within us, within these people who said, I'm resetting my mind. I'm resetting my thinking. I'm going to start thinking from a different perspective and seeing the power of God flow in my life this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm not even a Christian.